Let's pray as we get started. Lord, as we open up your word now, we need help. And I'm not going to assume for a second that we're going to understand all this or that we've experienced it. Lord, help us that the word would just come alive. That John 14 would just continue to hear Jesus' words so strongly and it'd be part of our lives. Thank you for the theme of where we're going when we talk about the Holy Spirit, how important he is. And I just commit this to you. And thank you for the energy that you're going to give me and everybody that's listening. And we will just commit all this to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I love meeting people. I love meeting new people. I'm not the most outgoing extrovert, but I just love listening to people's life stories. I love listening to you guys tell me about your lives and your history, what God's done in your life, and the good and the bad, the ugly, all that stuff. I really enjoy that for the most part. Being a pastor, sometimes there's a little bit more of the bad than the good, and that's hard. But God wired me, I think, a special way where I can handle that. And I just love interacting with people. I love introducing people to other people and making connections. I love being a reconciler or a peacemaker if two people are arguing or fighting. I love trying to bring them back together. I just love that about people. It's important. One of my biggest frustrations, on the other hand, is when I can't connect with someone. When I just can't make that, you know, just can't, they just don't respond to me, whether they hate me or they are mad at me or what, you know, whatever, they're scared of me. That's probably the biggest one. And, you know, I'm so big. And sometimes it's just a little overwhelming. And I get so frustrated when I can't make that connection. I've told you this before if you've been around, but when I was a college career pastor back in the early 80s, mid-80s, there was a girl, a college girl in our group, a large group, and she hated me. She just, and I was just coming on as a leader, and she just let me know and everybody else that she hated me. And she was very vocal about it. And I go, "What? I don't even know her. We haven't had any connection." But it turns out I looked like her ex-boyfriend. And because of that, she didn't like me for the longest time. So that frustrates me, things like that. It changed. That's Krista Willis Crawford, yeah. So Jeff was around for those early days. Today, I want to introduce you to someone, or at least reintroduce you to someone. Maybe someone you haven't thought about for a while and who he is. Here in our passage in John 14 are two different times when Jesus talks about the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. Jesus is going to continue to talk about the Spirit at the end of chapter 15 and then again at the beginning of 16. So the Holy Spirit is an important theme of this going deeper with Jesus. Today I just want to do a real basic, simple teaching of who the Holy Spirit is so we get to know our Advocate, all right? I hope you get excited about this. This is great stuff. I grew up in a church tradition that rarely or ever talked about the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you. It was just really rare. I mean, it would always be mentioned when we'd sing the doxology or something like that. But I never really was taught about the Holy Spirit until I was a young adult. And like, wow, all this is in the Bible? This is who the Holy Spirit is? Why are we just talking about God the Father and God the Son? Why aren't we talking more about God the Spirit as well? And so I hope you enjoy this time that we're going to do this today. Here's where we're going to start in verse 16. Jesus is talking. He says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever." Notice the Trinity talk here. Do you notice it? Who's talking? Who's he talking to? Or who's he going to ask? And the Father's going to what? Send the Holy Spirit, send the Advocate. So Jesus is talking. That's one of many times in Scripture where we see the Godhead, the three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And it's so common in Scripture. And that leads us to our very first point, is that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. You can't say it any other way. Don't lessen who the Holy Spirit is. Don't minimize his role or his deity. The Holy Spirit is God. That's a great place to start. The Spirit was not created. He always has been. Again, it's not easy to explain the Trinity, is it? It's hard to explain how three can be one, but it's important. We didn't invent this doctrine. We didn't come up with this teaching just for fun. This is something that's throughout Scripture, and so because of that, we wrestle with it. We work with it, and we try to understand what it means that God is one deity in three persons, Father, Son, Spirit. There's no fourth person. There's no fifth person of the Trinity. We never find it in Scripture anywhere. It's always the three in one. And so it's important that we understand who the Holy Spirit is. He is God. He was with God when the creation happened. Genesis 1:2. The earth was without form, void. Darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. This one's a little bit more obscure, but it is also the Spirit. 33:6 in Psalms. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. That breath word is Hebrew, and it's ruach, and that is means spirit in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew. And so he's saying that the Spirit made things happen, you know, created all the hosts, created all the planets and stars and all that stuff. Acts 5 is interesting to think about the Holy Spirit being God, because this is the story when Ananias and Sapphira fall dead because they lied. And they didn't just lie to the disciples or to people. They lied. Peter said, because you lied to the Holy Spirit. And Peter considered the Holy Spirit to be the same as if you're lying to God. You lied to the Holy Spirit. And it was so scary. They fell dead right at that point. So it's crazy, but that's a good verse to remember. Yeah. So Holy Spirit is God. Number two. The Holy Spirit is a person, not a force. Okay? Not a force. He is a person. This is hard. Let's kind of wrap your brain around this a little bit. He isn't an it. He's a he. You understand? The Jehovah's Witnesses, they define the Holy Spirit as, this is actually a quote, the Holy Spirit is the active force of God. It is not a person, but is a powerful force that God can emanate from himself to accomplish his holy will. So they look at it, the Spirit as a force. The Mormon Church describes the Spirit as an energy, an impersonal energy, a divine fluid, an electricity, if you will, but nothing more than an energy force. Okay, sounds kind of like Avatar, doesn't it? But that's not what the Bible says at all. That's not what the Bible says. In order to be a person, what do you need? Well, you need lots of things. You need intelligence. You need a will. And let's go with emotions. Let's say at least those three things in order to be a person, okay? Does the Holy Spirit have intelligence? Check this out. 1 Corinthians 2:10. These things, these truths, we're talking about the truths of the gospel, they are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. The Spirit searches the deep things of God. Does he have a brain? Does he have an intelligence? Not a little physical brain, I realize, but does he have an intelligence? Yes, of course. Paul is saying the deep thoughts. How about the will? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:11. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to each one as he wills or as he determines, meaning that the Holy Spirit chooses and has the ability to choose this one, you, them, that. He has a will. He makes decisions. Emotions is a really clear one. The Holy Spirit does have emotions. Lots of verses that talk about the Spirit being grieved in Ephesians. He's quenched in Thessalonians. The Spirit is lied to, like we looked at in Acts 5. He's resisted in Acts 7. And these traits, they're described feelings and emotion that a force couldn't conjure up. He's a real person. The Holy Spirit is a person, not a force. Now, those of us who have lived the last 40 years watching Star Wars movies, we sometimes can get confused because we think of the Holy Spirit like the Force in Star Wars. And there are similarities, for sure. But it's important that I can help you make this distinction. Luke asked Obi-Wan who or what the Force was, and Obi-Wan said this, "The Force is what gives a Jedi his power. It's an energy field created by all living things." That's the Force. Again, this energy field, this thing. But it's hard not to compare the two because we can't see the Holy Spirit. You can't see the force, you know, and it does give us power. So there are definitely connections to it, but don't let the force be your definition of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so much more than the force. Just for fun, I came across some pretty funny Star Wars riddles. See if you can answer any of them. Why did episodes 4, 5, and 6 come before 1, 2, and 3? Any idea? Because in charge of directing, Yoda was. Thank you. They get worse. What do you call five Siths piled up on top of a lightsaber? Five Siths piled up on top of a lightsaber. A Sith kebab. Yep, there you go. That's fun to say. There you go. What do you call an invisible droid? A C-3PO. A C-3PO. What did Obi-Wan tell Luke? This is the last one, so you better start laughing. What did Obi-Wan tell Luke when his young apprentice was having a hard time using chopsticks at the Chinese restaurant? What did Obi-Wan say? Use the forks, Luke. Use the forks. Right. So there are similarities between the Force and the Holy Spirit, but be careful. Be careful. That's incomplete. The Holy Spirit is so much more. He is a person, and we need to understand that he is God, okay? Number three, the Holy Spirit is our advocate. This comes directly from our verse in 16. That's how Jesus describes the Holy Spirit, as an advocate. It's an important Greek word. It's really important. Many different Bible translations say different things. If you have King James, it says the Comforter. If you have the English Standard, you see Helper, the Helper. NIV and New Living, which a lot of us use, one of those two, says the Advocate. And Holy Spirit is certainly all those things. He's certainly Comforter, he's certainly Helper, he's certainly an Advocate. The Greek word is Paraclete and literally means to be called to one side for help, to come alongside someone for support and help. It's actually a legal term. It's actually a legal term. And that's why advocate, I think, is probably the best idea of what Jesus was trying to say here. The legal term is whenever you need someone in court to be on your side, that person is a defense attorney, right? You need someone to speak for you, to be there on your behalf, to be your representative. That's who the Holy Spirit is. He is our advocate, our paraclete. You see, Jesus knew how hard it was going to be for his disciples after he left. He didn't want them to feel like they were going to be abandoned, left alone. And he reassures them, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, I promise. I'm going to send someone who will be an advocate for them. They're going to be a replacement for me. They're going to be a representative of me. He is going to be a representative of me, Jesus says. And that gives us a good partial understanding of the Spirit. He will stand by our side. He will represent us when we need it. I think it's especially helpful whenever we encounter spiritual issues. We feel like we're under attack maybe, or it's just stuff going on, a lot of negative things. Isn't it great to know, Holy Spirit, you are here right by my side. You are here, fight for me. You know, sometimes maybe even some angels and others will come down too and join, but to have God, the Spirit, at my side is really, really helpful. That's good. And that's a good thought, but it's incomplete. Because the Holy Spirit is not just at my side. Where else is he? He's inside me. He's inside you if you know Jesus. The Holy Spirit is so much more. Ezekiel 36, I will put my Spirit within you, so that you can follow my decrees. 1 Corinthians 3, don't you know that you're a temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you, dwells in you? So isn't that great to know? That's who the Holy Spirit is. He's not just on the side once in a while when we need it. He is living in us. It's a really incredible thought. And to add to that, number four, the Holy Spirit will never leave us. That's what Jesus says. He will never, ever leave you. So don't be troubled. Don't be sad. He will never leave you. He's with us 24/7. He never takes a break. He never breaks up with us. He's always there. He lives with us forever. A lot of us, we struggle with abandonment issues. We've had important people in our lives leave us. And it causes us to have trouble sometimes trusting people. It ruins us when we think about just trying to survive in life. when we have abandonment issues, it really carries out in different ways that are always negative. But we know we've been hurt before, and so we're trying to survive. But you know what? To know that the Holy Spirit will never, ever leave us, no matter what, that there's nothing you can do, child of God, there's nothing you can do that's so bad that he will leave you. You're going to hurt him. You're going to make him feel bad. You're going to quench him. Maybe there's not a lot of power behind it because of your choices, but he's there. And that's important. He will never leave you. Number four, at least six times God says in the Bible, I will never leave you or forsake you. At least six times. And the Spirit living in us permanently is just such a wonderful comfort and peace. All right, we're moving right along. It's not going to take us very long today. Number five, the Holy Spirit is truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. Verse 17, he is the Spirit of truth. Man, I don't know about you, but I get great hope. I get great assurance knowing that the Holy Spirit is always right. He is never wrong. He's always true. He's kind of like the North Star. The North Star always is there, right? If I can find the North Star, I kind of know where I'm at. Like, I know the direction. And the Spirit is like that. And the opposite is never true. Can the Holy Spirit lie? He cannot. He cannot lie. He can't tell you something false. He is always going to tell you something true. Earlier in this chapter, who else said that he was the truth? Jesus himself said this. Yeah, I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life, right? So Jesus is saying he's the truth. And now a few verses later, a few sentences later, he's saying, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Isn't that nice? A nice connection of, again, Trinity, kind of Trinity ideas that Jesus and the Spirit are one, all right? So it's important that we get this. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all equal. But we do acknowledge that they have unique, distinct roles. The Son has a different role than the Spirit did. And there's some different things we could talk about more later, all right? Let's move on to number six. What does that say? Number six, the Holy Spirit is hidden from the world, but the believer always, always knows him. Let's look at all of verse 17. He is the Spirit of truth. Jesus has already said this. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So the Spirit is hidden from the world, but he's never hidden from us believers. That's a promise we have. And it helps us understand. This helps me again to see the Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force. But he's very real. He says the Spirit is known. He's known by believers. And he's unknown by non-believers, by the world, if so to speak. The Spirit of truth lives with his children. He could never, ever live within an unbeliever. This idea that God's in everybody and everything, that doesn't work when we talk about the Holy Spirit here. Scripture is clear saying the Spirit lives in someone who's accepted Jesus into their lives and asked to become a child of God. That the Holy Spirit fills that person, lives with them. He can never, ever live with an unbeliever. The two cannot cohabitate. It's light and darkness, oil, water, the whole thing. It's just impossible. Verses 16 and 17 that we've now looked at remind me that the Holy Spirit is someone very special that we get to know. He never leaves our side. He's always there as our advocate. He's our truth. He's our helper. He's our comforter. That's who the Holy Spirit is. Well, there's two more descriptions I want to share with you about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to skip down to verses 26. But the Paraclete, the advocate, if you will, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you. I want you to pay attention to the advocate now. Earlier in 16, it was just advocate, little a. And there was no definite, oh, I'm forgetting how to say it. How do you say it? What is the? Or article. It wasn't a definite article beforehand. But now in this verse, in 26, there is the advocate. And so our Bible translators have capitalized it as a title, as a name now, the advocate, okay? That's just for fun. Write that one down later. You can impress somebody. All right? So here's point number seven. The Holy Spirit is our spiritual teacher. He is truth. He teaches us all things and will remind us of things, all right? Verse 26 here, it's a super important. When we talk about the doctrine of the Bible, this is a really important verse. Alongside with 2 Timothy 3:16, these verses talk about saying the word of God is inspired by God. It's not just written by human authors, but that the Holy Spirit came alongside and helped in the writing. The word inspired, what does it mean? Anybody know? God breathed. He's inspired. God breathed. There's that ruach again of the Old Testament. He assisted in the writing of scriptures. And so when Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Peter, Paul, James, all our writers of the New Testament, when they were writing their letters, they were being coaxed and they were being inspired by the Holy Spirit to write exactly what God wanted them to write. It's that we believe that about our scripture, that it's from the Lord, but also from written hands. And so it's important. This verse is super important about our doctrine of the Bible, all right? I've talked to a lot of people who are not Christians yet, people who don't know, have an experience following Christ, and they say the Bible is kind of like a textbook, or if they ever hear about it, it's so old and it doesn't have anything to say to me today, right? I hear that quite a bit. It's boring. It's gruesome and all those kind of things. But I've talked to those same people when they've come to Jesus, and it's amazing what comes out of their lips. They go, God really spoke to me through this verse. It's incredible. I'm learning so much as I read and study God's word. They're saying the exact opposite. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in there and he's revealed scripture to us. That's what he does. I must add, however, that the Holy Spirit doesn't feed us with the truths of scripture intravenously. It doesn't happen automatically. I'm sorry. The Holy Spirit's there, but he demands you do something. You got to open up the Bible. You got to listen and hear it. You got to study it and understand it, process it. And that's when the Holy Spirit of God brings his word to life. And if you ever feel like, man, the Bible is just too boring, pray for the Holy Spirit's help. Pray for that's every time before I preach, every time in a home group or any kind of Bible study, I just always want to acknowledge, Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. You are the one that leads us into truth. You're going to teach us all things. We can't do it on our own. Maybe we can do a little bit on our own, but we need you to understand the depths of the riches of God's word. We need the Holy Spirit, okay? Do you want the Holy Spirit to illuminate scripture for you? Do you want that? Then you got to get into the word, study it, listen, process. Let it become a reality in your life. And see what God will do, okay? Last one, number 8. The Holy Spirit provides heavenly peace. A lot of us here, we need God's peace this morning. Verse 27 is so powerful. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give it to you as the world gives. So it's not an earthly, worldly peace. It's a heavenly, otherworldly peace, if you will. So don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. This is a very well-known verse. I remember hearing this in the old King James when I was a kid. And it was always kind of like a tongue twister. It never totally made sense because it had some double negatives in it. But what Jesus says here is he's the one that's talking, really. He says, I'm going to give you my peace. And he gives us this otherworldly kind of peace. But he says this, even though it's Jesus talking, he says it right after he's talking about also sending the Holy Spirit. And I think there's a connection. I think there's a connection between the Holy Spirit and peace. The Holy Spirit gives us, affirms Jesus' peace that he's going to give us. We have no reason to be troubled or afraid if we know that the Holy Spirit is with us, giving us God's peace. Guys, sometimes life is so hard. It's so scary. But when the Lord flows his miraculous peace in our lives, it changes our perspective. It changes our emotions. When the Lord flows his miraculous peace in you, it will change your outlook on life. It will change you from the inside out. When I think of the word peace, especially peace that comes from God, I think of resting. I think of calm. I think of just total, complete trust and just confidence that God's in control. That's a great feeling to have. It really can do amazing things. The world, there's no way the world could offer me that kind of peace. No way. No human being can replicate it. But when God pours his heavenly peace on you, you're going to know it. You're going to feel it. It's going to be emotional. It's going to be amazing. You will never be the same, quite frankly. So ask yourself here, let's just, you know, as we close up, let's do the old 1 to 10 scale. 1 being bad, 10 being great, all right? Ask yourself, how real is the Holy Spirit in your life? Just from what we talked about so far, and we're not done. We've got a lot more to talk about the Holy Spirit and how he fills us and how he uses us, right? But just from what we've heard so far, 1 to 10, how real is the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you experience all the benefits from the Holy Spirit being in you? See, God promises us, follower of Jesus, he promises you that you can check that number 10 on top every time. Because it doesn't even matter. It's not about how you're feeling or what's going on, but you can experience the Holy Spirit 1 to 10 every time because God is living in us. It's his work. Our job is to submit. Our job is to surrender and obey, absolutely. But we don't ever have to doubt the reality of the Holy Spirit. One of the things he does, he convicts us. He convicts us of our sin. He shows us what's wrong. He leads us in the right directions. And we'll talk more about that. And so we can be sure that if we're following Jesus, we can check that number 10 because every believer is filled with the Holy Spirit. God lives in you, child of God. Believe that. If that's a reality, or you just said, man, look, I really want this to be true in my life. I really want this to be true. I'd like to lead us in a real simple prayer. And we'll do something different maybe today. Let's do this where we're all going to repeat it. Maybe you don't feel like you need it as much as others, but we're going to maybe all together say it. Why don't we stand together? We are asking God for the presence of his Spirit, the confirmation that the Spirit is in our lives. We're going to cry out for our need for the Lord. That's going to be our prayer. If you want to pray that, would you please repeat these words? Lord, I need you in my life. I want to know that I am filled with your Holy Spirit. I want to feel your presence living in me. I don't just want a spark or a flicker. I want the full power of your Spirit working in me so that I might glorify you and represent you well in the kingdom. Thank you for loving and saving me. And so now fill me with your Holy Spirit. So that I will have the advocate by my side and in my life. In his name. How about we benedict this way? Holy Spirit, you are. You can go slide up. Come flood this place. Fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Yes, your presence, Lord. Let's just listen for a while. Let's just listen. Just receive what the Lord wants to give you right now. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that we've learned today of who the Holy Spirit is. And I'm so glad you are in my life. We also acknowledge the Bible teaches, and we'll look at this more later, but you constantly fill us. You refill us. When the tanks are empty, you refill us with your Spirit. and your power. When we need it, there is always more of you. I pray this week that our church family would experience this and understand it and really sense the fullness of the Spirit in our lives. May we live accordingly. God, today we remember those who are hurting. We just want to pray for Shirley West. Lord, just be with her in the hospital. She's coming home today and just coming close to the end of an amazing journey. Thank you for her and the rock that she has been and for so many of us. And be with Glenda and the whole family as they continue to minister and love on her. And we just pray for your best. Pray for those who are looking for work. Lord, I know a couple here. Rachel and Jake, Josh, I know are looking for work. Amy. God, please provide. Please provide for your children. We need that. Lord, there's just so many needs. So many wonderful things that we can give to you. And as we just leave today, we give that offering of praise, knowing that you are in full control, that our advocate is on our side, and we love you for that. In the name of Jesus, we all say, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Have a great, great rest of the weekend.